Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from Dr. Miles Monroe, provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and monroeglobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
Why speak in tongues? Some of you even speak in tongues now are still asking that question. Why speak in tongues? It's a good question. God always have good answers. Turn to Acts chapter 2 with me, please. Acts chapter 2 is a record of when the baptism in the Holy Spirit took place. For the first time since the fall. And in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 it says that they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, and please turn there. Mark chapter 16, Jesus is about to leave the earth. And not too many theologians like to discuss this verse because their theology is built on something else. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus began to speak. And he says, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized. He did not say he that is an apostle or he that is a disciple or he that is with the 12 or he that is living in the day that I live in now. He says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not them who were apostles, not them who were in the early church, not them who were only Pentecostals, not those who are Baptist, Anglican, Methodist. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not in the 21st century or in the 16th century or in the 18th century or in the first century. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Period. Question. Do you believe? Say amen if you believe.
Amen.
But guess what? You just qualified. Oh, but Brother Miles, that went out with the disciples. So that means the believers went out with the disciples too. Because the stuff only for those who believe. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He says, and I pray not only for these who believe on my word, but for those also who shall believe through their testimony. That's you. Now what sign shall follow them that believe? Number one, in my name they shall cast out devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. Jesus said that. Not Paul, not Luke. Jesus said that. Guy asked me one time, what about this tongues bit? I never hear Jesus talk about it. I says, you probably didn't read the Bible good. And I showed him this verse, and then he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Started speaking with tongues. They shall take up serpents. That means they shall come up against demonic spirits. And he says that they have authority over them. And if they drink any harmful thing, when they go out to preach the gospel in foreign lands and in different cultures, he says, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. and they shall recover. Who shall lay hands on the sick? Believers. Who shall speak in new tongues? Believers. What believers? All believers. They that believe. So you must then come and drink. But you got to keep on drinking. Do you know how you become filled with the Spirit? You don't just take a sip. Do you know how you become drunk with wine? How do you become drunk with wine? You don't take a little sip and then you're drunk. Man, you drink until you drink, and you drink and drink and drink, and then you drink. And then after that, you drink some more, and then you can't find the bottle. Because you are drunk with wine. Paul says, be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled or drunk with the Spirit. Now, some folks are cute. They just have a social drink of the Spirit. I don't want to get too fanatical. I don't want to get too emotional. I got to, you know, keep my poise and keep my clothes and looking nice. So they become social spiritual drinkers, just sips. Bible says, be filled with it. As a matter of fact, get baptized in it. Some folks want to speak in tongues, but they don't want to get drunk. If you're going to drink of the Spirit, drink until you overflow. Tongues is simply an overflow of too much. When you get full, you start to speak with other tongues. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 2. Find out how difficult it was for these guys to keep speaking in their normal language. Every born-again, Spirit-filled believer has within him for ready use all the power that he needs to make it through the earth. You have it in you now, if you are a believer. And this is through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. And you have the Holy Spirit, therefore you have God. Jesus made it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And when the disciples began to get drunk on the Spirit, it describes what happens. Let's read it carefully in chapter 2 of Acts. And they were all with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now if you read in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This was before Acts chapter 2. So they had the person of the Holy Ghost, but they weren't filled up with him. They had taken a drink of a glass of water, but they didn't take the bucket or they didn't dive in the river. Now they are not just drinking a glass of water, they are being filled with water. They're no longer just drinking anymore. I'm going to tell you how this works. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The Holy Spirit then is the potential filling up of God in every believer. Not just receiving the Holy Spirit, the person, but being baptized in his power. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now let's look at what happens when the power of God fills us up. Verse 16 says, know ye not that you are the temples of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you are a believer, you have the Spirit of God already. Look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 19. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have received of God, and ye are not your own. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome the enemy, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I tell you, speaking in tongues is simply becoming so filled up with God's holy power and joy that your language is insufficient to express the worship and praise that comes from your spirit. Your spirit have to do it. Speaking in tongues is like the water tank. We just read just now then that you are filled with God. You are the temple of God. Now, if you in your kitchen today would go and look at the spigot, the tap, the faucet, you will find that there is a little knob on the top. And as you turn the spigot, water comes out. If you turn it the other way, it goes off. But let me tell you something. When you turn your water off, it doesn't mean there isn't any more water in the tank. In this country, if you was to ride on top of the Blue Hill Road area, you'll find some big tanks, government water storage tanks. There are millions of gallons of water in those tanks. And the water is in those tanks all the time, even if you use water in your house or not. They are filled with water. Now, when you need water, there's pressure in your pipes. When you turn it on, water comes out. When you turn it off, the water doesn't come out, but it is still in the pipe. Tongues is a vehicle. It's a gift, an instrument that is used to release the flow of the joy and the power of God. And if you don't speak in it, it doesn't mean you ain't got it. Come on. The Spirit gives the utterance. In other words, the Spirit's always giving the pressure. He's always in the pipe flowing. He's always there. You are the temple of God. And therefore, the Spirit is in you even when you think so or not. Tongues is then when you turn the spigot on, the pressure is always present. You begin to release. Now, why do you turn faucets on? Because you need water. Or because somebody else needs water. Or because you need to do something with water to serve somebody else. In other words, every gift of God is given to be used to help somebody else. Speaking in tongues, then, is one of the physical evidences of this spiritual dimension, baptism in the Holy Ghost. It is not the only. Can I repeat that? A lot of people going around saying, if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't agree with that. Because you see, we got so many problems that have come against speaking in tongues that people have difficulty in believing in it. Even if they are Christians, they don't freely have the joy to release themselves in tongues. So sometimes they release it in other ways. Let me say it this way. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. One produces the other. You understand? In other words, speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost itself. Speaking in tongues is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost gives utterances for you to speak in tongues. That's an important point to clear up, because you see, some people think that if you don't speak in tongues, you can't have the Holy Ghost. But you can't have the Holy Ghost and yet not speak in tongues yet. You will if you get a good teacher and learn how to release that water. The book of Acts clearly points out to us that believers received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and every time they did, they spoke in tongues. That is the reason why we have trouble speaking in tongues so easily today in our fellowships around the world. And one of the reasons is, if you are taught against something long enough, even when you believe it, it'll be hard to release it and receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you ain't got to answer if you don't agree, okay? But if you've been taught against something for 50 years, it will be almost as difficult for you to unlearn it as it would be for you to learn it. I've seen people, all the places I've been, who have been filled with the Holy Ghost right in front of me, and they don't know what to do. They feel the joy of the Lord in the spirits, and all they can do is, some of them just scream. Disturb the whole church, just scream. Others just don't know what to do with themselves, so they throw themselves down. Then they say God throw them down. God don't throw nobody down. Just that sometimes you don't know how to release it. And if you don't know how to release something, then your body probably won't be able to handle all of it. It's like a balloon. You keep putting pressure in the balloon and keep putting pressure in the balloon and keep putting pressure in the balloon. And after a while, we're going to see who's going to win. The pressure is going to win. And so, if the government of our country does not control the water pressure in those tanks to your pipe, they will blow the spigot off. You understand? Now, anyone here works in the water and sewage corporation, they'll tell you that the poundage, the weightage in that water in that tank is enough to sink your house. One tank. Thousands and thousands of pounds in those tanks. But your little tiny 2-inch pipe could handle it, because they control it with a big old valve. All kind of gadgets in the system, they got to control the pressure so that you only receive just enough so that your spigot don't blow its top. Now, if you don't release pressure one way, it'll have to be released another way. Give you an example. If you just keep eating and keep eating and keep eating, you get fat. But you still want to wear the same clothes. We're going to see who's going to win. You keep eating, clothes get tighter. Keep eating, clothes get tighter. Keep eating. In other words, something's got to give. I hope it won't be a button in the middle of folks. Pressure has to give up. Now, tongues is one of the ways that the pressure of the baptism is released. Now, let's begin to rush through some scripture here and see that every believer who was baptized in the Holy Ghost in the early church just began to speak in tongues. The next time we're going to deal with why God chose tongues to be one of the most natural releases. It's not the only release. There are 9 gifts and more gifts that the Holy Ghost is released through. But this is one of them. Why is this one the most prominent one? We're going to find out. First, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Now, we read in Acts chapter 2 where they were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. The book of Acts clearly points out that believers received the fullness of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was a natural result. It was a natural result. Acts chapter 8. Now, 8 years after Pentecost was over. 8 years. Now, a lot of people says, well, you know, tongues only came on that day because, you know, the Holy Ghost was just getting them ready for, you know, the later church. And so they only spoke in tongues then. Well, Acts chapter 8 is 8 years after the Pentecost experience. Now, let's read what happens 8 years later. Here we have the believers in Samaria. And the word of God began to be preached to them. Beginning at verse 5, these words are written there. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Am I reading the right one? Boy, you all are so wise. Acts chapter 8. I'm reading Acts chapter 5. Pardon me. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto his sayings and those things which he spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with paralysis, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now here we have a spirit-filled church. And the people began to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. And it says, Philip preached to them. And then God began to do what the baptism said would happen. They began to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. 10 years after Pentecost, 2 years after this experience, we find in Acts chapter 10 what happens in the church 10 years after. Look at verse 44. 10 years after the first filling, we find these words. While Peter yet spake those words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that means those who were Jews, who didn't mix with the Samaritans, they were prejudiced, which believed, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can we stop these people from getting baptized in water too, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us? Now this is 10 years after. If you notice, no one had to prime them to speak in tongues. No one had to rub their head and rock them and beat it in them. The Bible says they listened, they heard, they believed, they received. What do we do normally? We listen, we doubt, we criticize, then we examine, then we think about, then we discuss, then we call a committee meeting to see if it's true, then we call the headquarters to see if they agree, and then if they don't, then we say, forget it. Hey, the word of God says they received the word, believed it, were filled with the Holy Ghost, that's bigger than dongs. They had time to examine, discuss, and all that stuff. They did that afterwards. It's amazing, you know. It's like me giving you a Christmas present and you look at the box for 3 months. I wonder if this is for me. I wonder if this is really nice. I wonder what's in this. Man, I'm gonna take this and put it under the microscope, check, see if this paper is good. You know, all this, that's exactly what we do with the gifts of God. We examine them rather than receive them. 10 years later. How about 20 years later? Those of you who are Bible scholars can study the chronological order of this book of Acts. 20 years later, in Acts chapter 19, this stuff was still going on. Acts chapter 19, the church in Ephesus was established. And now they were excited. Begin reading from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We haven't even heard of that. We don't even know if there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Sound familiar? I wonder what they're teaching on at a BFM. We haven't ever heard of that. We never even knew that there was such a thing. Now notice, the Bible says in verse 1, finding certain disciples. Man, these folks were honest, sincere. They didn't miss a service. But they were still missing something. See, you can go to church all your life and miss the whole point. I was sharing with a young lady last night, and she was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I said, do you know something, my dear? It's possible to be sincerely wrong. It is possible. Now, these folks were sincere, but they were also right, but they didn't have enough. He says, have you received it? We haven't even heard of it. And he said unto them, then unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. I mean, these folks, in other words, they believed in Jesus according to what John said, but they hadn't received the witness. And they said unto Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. These folks believed in Jesus. Just like you. They were believers. And when Paul and Apollos heard this, that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul said, come on then, you believe. You might as well show the whole world now that you believe in Jesus. Let's get baptized. So he baptized them in water. And then when they finished, Paul laid his hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. And they, 20 years after Pentecost, began to speak in new tongues. Don't feel bad if you didn't know. You got some company, you see. You're covered in the Word. But you see, these folks were smart. They realized they didn't know, but they didn't stay in their ignorance. They said, come on, Paul, give us all of it. What we ain't got, come on. Paul says, all right. Some folks says, well, I ain't got it, and I don't want it. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 and find out where Paul got his dose. Acts chapter 9, Paul began to speak. Lord, who art thou? Who is this, Lord? The Lord says, this is me, Jesus. You're persecuting me. And then Paul says, oh, I didn't know. And he fell to the ground and was struck blind. The light probably burned his retina. It was so bright. The Bible says no man can see God and live. Paul probably just saw a little bit, a blink from Jesus, you know. He was in the flesh. He couldn't take it. His eyes just sizzled. Then Acts chapter 9, verse 11, then we see where Paul started to get his. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said unto him, the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias, he says, behold, here am I. The Lord says, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, he is there, for behold, he prayeth. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered and said, Lord, now you have heard I have heard many things about this man. He has killed Christians. How much evil had he done to thy saints at Jerusalem? And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. So Ananias went this way and entered into the house, putting his hands on Paul, said, Brother Saul. Oh, what a nice statement. Here's the man who's to kill us, harass us, throw us to the lions. Now you call him brother. You know, that's beautiful how the Lord can change people.
Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee on the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales. And he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Now, if you note, almost everywhere the folks are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they begin to speak with tongues. And Paul talks about it in Corinthians 14. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. So Paul must be had a big dose of this thing. Well, why then did the other disciples not write or say much about the experience of speaking in tongues then? And this is a good question I want you to think about. People would say to you, well, how come you talk so much about this tongues bit? How come James doesn't talk about tongues? How about the book of Hebrews? They don't talk about tongues. How about Matthew and those guys? They didn't talk about tongues. How about Jude? They didn't talk about tongues. If it's so important, why didn't they write about it? I'll tell you why they didn't write about it. Because you don't write about things that are too common to write about. Everybody in the church who got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost spoke in tongues. So why should you write a book about it? In those days, everybody got filled with the Spirit who were believers and spoke in tongues. The only reason why we write books about tongues today is because most believers don't do it. James, he had to write about tongues. If James had to write a book about tongues, folks would think something's off with James. When the people came up in the fellowship of those houses and received the Lord, they laid hands on them, they began to speak in tongues, and everybody went home, didn't even talk about it. Why? Because everybody had it. As a matter of fact, the information we have on the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues found in 1 Corinthians were actually written not to teach the church about speaking in tongues, but to correct a problem in a church. Think about it. It was so common in the church that no one had to write about it. It's just that the church at Corinth were, you know, misusing some of the gifts. So Paul says, look, I'll write you all a letter and lay some instructions out again. Everybody, every Christian around the marketplace in Judea would walk around speaking in tongues when they wanted to pray behind some shack. Nobody walked around and said, do you speak in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? Have you heard of anyone speaking tongues? Have you received tongues yet? No, man, everybody just did it. With no need to write about it. But today, we have been taught against it so much until people stay away from it and they don't want to go near it. And so to even get them to think about it, you got to write a book for them to read. Oh, we are in a sad situation. Being filled with the Spirit was as common as being saved. Because every time they got saved, they got filled with the Spirit simultaneously. That's what we just read. Every time they got saved, received Jesus, they began to be filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. In other words, whenever they got saved, they started to be filled with the Spirit. It was like one package instead of getting two gifts. But you see, we have been taught against it so much until first we get you saved, then we try and introduce you to the baptism in the Holy Ghost. We make them two separate experiences. In the early church, Peter was preaching, preaching the word, preaching. And while he was preaching, folks started speaking in tongues. And he was saying, what's going on? We just read it today. While he yet spake, they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. I tell you, the devil has done some terrible things in the church. He has separated baptism in the Holy Ghost from salvation and made them seem as if they're strange experiences. They are one, and they should come together as a package. When you become a Christian and a child of God and make Jesus your Lord, you should be filled with the Spirit then. Now, a lot of us don't, because we don't know anything about it. We don't even expect to receive it. When Paul met the believers just now, we read how he took them and asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we haven't heard about that. So he led them, he got them baptized. First they had confessed Jesus Lord, got baptized in the water. And then, without a question, he just laid his hands on him. In other words, next. He didn't think or guess or say, now we got a second thing for you to get. He just laid his hands on them and they came out of the water. You as a believer, supposed to be filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And you're not nuts when you speak in tongues, you're really sensible. And we're going to learn about that. Now, why was tongues then the most prominent and initial release in the baptism? Why was tongues the first thing to show up? I'm going to tell you why. One of the greatest gifts that God gave man is the gift of speech. Amen? Amen? Dogs don't talk, cats don't talk, birds don't talk. Rats don't talk, snakes don't talk, cows don't talk. But you get a man or a woman in your midst, they'll talk. That's a gift from God, God-given gift of communication. Secondly, speech is the most accessible element to expression. What's the easiest way for you to express yourself? By talking. You ever seen somebody who was stricken with a dumb spirit try to explain themselves? They go through all kinds of stuff. Hands and legs going, and they try and explain themselves. But you see, us who could talk, all we just do is stand there without moving our hands and say, I really like you. It's the most accessible expression of our being, speech. It's the easiest way to express ourselves. Well, your inner self, even your spirit, has a language. But to get that language out, your tongue is the vehicle. And that's why the first thing God touched when the Holy Ghost came was the tongue of man. It was the most easily accessible element of expression. Now we can express our deepest groanings through our speech. Now if you don't know about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and in tongues, and you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, some people receive it right here in this meeting. I've seen people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they just stand there and they don't know about expressing that joy and the overflow of that power in tongues because they've been taught against it. And so what they do, they have to get rid of that pressure of joy, so they cry. Some people just cry and cry and they can't stop. Some of you experienced that. When the Holy Ghost would fill you sometime, you don't know what to do, so you just weep. The joy is so hard. You say, God, if you keep this up, I'll burst. The disciples didn't do that, see? When the Holy Ghost came up, they just went, thank God, and start magnifying God. Then suddenly, their language wasn't enough. So they started speaking in an unknown tongue. Now there is more to being filled with the Spirit than speaking in tongues. So I don't want you to get caught up on this thing. But tongues is one of the necessities of the Christian believer. Tongues are the integral and one of the most important parts of receiving from God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now Paul was really bragging a little bit. Because you see, a lot of folks was going around and they were forbidding some people to speak in tongues. You don't speak in tongues, that stuff is of the devil. And Paul came up a few words later, he says, now forbid not to speak in tongues. He said, because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is actually speaking unto God mystery. So if you don't understand it, good. None of your business. He said, he that speaketh in tongues speaketh unto God, not unto men. Therefore the mind is unfruitful, it doesn't understand it. But he speaks deep things in the spirit. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, is tongues necessary then? I say yes. Have tongues been done away with? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A lot of people read this and they say, yes, the Bible says tongues shall cease and prophecies shall cease. I agree with the Bible, they will. But why don't you read the Bible properly and get the right context and then stop robbing yourself? Turn to 1 Corinthians with me real quick and let's clear this up once and for all. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now listen to Paul giving instructions, beginning with verse 8. Now, this whole thing is talking about love. When he reached verse 8, he says, love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And yet now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now what did Paul just say? Paul says, he's listing all the gifts of the Spirit. He says, and the gifts of the Spirit are given to the church because the church is not perfect yet. We need prophecy. We need gifts of healings. We need miracles. We need the gift of faith. We need tongues and interpretation of tongues. We need them, but we don't need them in heaven. You don't need the gifts of healing in heaven because ain't nobody sick there. You don't need the gifts of miracles in heaven because ain't nobody lame there. You don't need tongues in heaven because ain't nobody going to be in misunderstanding there. You don't need prophecies in heaven because we're going to meet the prophet. Jesus is saying through Paul, when we, verse 12, shall see him face to face, then prophecies could leave. Then tongues, we don't need them no more. Then miracles, we don't need them no more. We don't need healing no more, man. We're home. But we need miracles here because the devil is still breaking people's bodies. We need healings here because the devil is still putting sickness on people. We need the prophecies of God here because the Bible says there are many voices in the world. So don't tell me it left. And by the way, if you believe it left, read all of it. It says, prophecy shall cease, tongues shall cease, and knowledge also shall vanish away. That means we're supposed to be dumb. Stupid. Unlearned. You see how silly it is sometimes when we preach things and don't check it out? Has knowledge passed away yet? No. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Boo. So tongues are for today. Just like there was 20 years after Pentecost. Now I say to you then, and I submit this to you, is it necessary for all believers to speak in tongues? The answer is yes. Now all of them don't. Just like it's necessary for you to have money, but all of us don't. Just like it's necessary for you to pay your bills, but all of us can't. Just like it's necessary for you to go to work, but some of us don't. In other words, many things are necessary, but doesn't mean that we appropriate them. So we don't benefit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's see if it is necessary for every believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 27. Find these words there. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. God has set them in the church. So don't you tell God they don't exist anymore. Look at verse 30. Let's read verse 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I to you a more excellent way. The question, do all speak with tongues? That was my question. Is it necessary? Is speaking in tongues for everybody? Well, in this verse of scripture, he's talking about the gifts of ministry in the church versus the gift of tongues that every believer received when they received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There is a difference. There's what we call a ministry gift, then a spiritual gift. Just like not everybody would be a prophet at the same time. Because the Lord will move on who he wished to give a word to his body. Just like he would give somebody a prophecy in tongues, maybe. That's a unique ministry. The Lord operates at a certain time when it's needed to communicate with his body. But then there is the gift of tongues, not the ministry of tongues, the gift of tongues that Paul talks about that every believer should receive at the time of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to explain why we should receive that. Now, speaking in tongues is a flowing stream that should never dry up. Speaking in tongues is your source of upbuilding, enrichment, and edification. There are 10 reasons why every believer should speak in tongues. I'm going to list them to you and then we're going to close. And I want you to write them down because you're going to need to know for yourself. God, why should I do this thing? It sounds so silly and so insignificant. Why, Lord? Now here are your reasons. Number one, tongues is the initial expression, supernatural evidence of the Spirit indwelling and filling. That's Acts chapter 2. Second reason, tongues are for spiritual edification. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Please, do it. Because I want you to see why it's necessary. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. For he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. Prophecy is in the known language. An exhortation. Verse 4 says, but he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Speaking in tongues is necessary because it is one of your ways of building up your spirit. To edify means to build. Sometimes when I feel my battery getting low, I go in the closet, lock the door, go in the bathroom, lock the door, go in the office, lock the door, or stand in the elevator for 5 minutes and just pray in tongues. When I see the enemy coming all around with all kinds of problems, I say, hold it a minute. And I edify myself. Do you know why this is so important too? Because we as Christians have been too long going to the other folks to edify us. Come on, preacher, preach me happy, we say. Come on, choir, sing good so I can feel good. The Bible says, why don't you edify yourself? Get in your bedroom, lock the door, and just build yourself up before you go to work. Just pray in tongues and pray in tongues. The Bible says, your mind don't understand what you're saying, neither does anybody else. It says, but you speak mysteries in the Spirit unto God. That means you and God having a good talk, and your old brain is just going nuts. Because you see, he being in charge for so long, he don't like not to understand. That's why a lot of people don't speak in tongues, because they live in the carnal mind too long. They're so used to understanding everything on the sense level that if they can't understand it, they don't want to do it. The Bible says that we must walk in the Spirit, but we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh says, I've got to know what's going on. The lust of the flesh says, I've got to see what's happening. And the Bible says, when the tongues of your spirit starts coming, it says, your mind got to take back seat. So we speak in tongues, second reason, to edify ourselves. Third reason, tongues are necessary because they remind us of the Spirit's indwelling presence. You know, I can be consoled by the Holy Ghost. And I can be conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit when I speak in tongues. That means I know the Holy Ghost is in me. And just that knowledge encourages me. I'm not alone, Lord. When you speak in tongues, you realize God is really in me. Then you encourage yourself. And in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, read them. Jesus said, when the Comforter shall come, he shall dwell in you, and he shall abide with you, and we will come and make our abode in you. Third reason then is that it reminds us of God's presence. Thirdly, it's necessary to speak in tongues because it will keep us in our prayer lives. And in our prayer, it will keep us in line with the will of God. This one is very important. Tongues, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, will keep you in line with God's will. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. I want you to read this one. How many times have you been tempted to pray and you say to yourself, but I wonder if this is the will of God. I wonder if it's God's will for me to ask this kind of thing. Maybe it's God's will for me not to have this thing. And so we go on all these questions. But Romans chapter 8 tells us how important tongues is. Tongues will keep selfishness out of our prayers. Know the kind of prayers we pray? Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme this, Lord, and gimme that, Lord, and gimme this, Lord, and gimme more of that, and gimme this. That's selfish prayer. Tongues will keep you in line with God's will. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 very carefully and read a couple of passages from here. Verse 20, 25. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Paul says, sometimes we don't know even how to pray for something. We got a problem, but we don't know how to pray. He says, but the Spirit, that's a capital S in your Bible, I think. That means the Holy Ghost. The Spirit itself make it intercession for us with groanings. Some things you just can't put into English. Paul is saying, oh God, I feel this thing. I don't know what to say. You ever felt that way when you felt the Holy Ghost baptizing you sometime? I get baptized in the Holy Ghost every day. Sometimes it's just in my belly, in my cavity, in my spirit. I don't know what to tell God. And English can't say it. Paul says, sometimes we don't know how to say it. Oh, but read the rest. He says, and the Spirit make it intercessions for us then with these groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, you can't say it in your language. We don't know how to pray sometimes. So we need the Holy Ghost to pray. And it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, capital S, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You ain't sure what to pray, just start praying in tongues and you'll be praying in God's will. Now, I want you to underline the word, the Spirit itself maketh intercession in verse 26, and in verse 27, underline again, he maketh intercession for the saints. Saints is plural. The Holy Ghost is perpetually making intercession for you. Right now, the Holy Ghost is praying through you. He never stops. He always never ceases to intercede for the saints. Holy Ghost is praying right now. Speaking in tongues is like picking up a third phone. You understand? Tapping in on the conversation. Joining in with the Holy Ghost, who knows the answers to your problems, and he's interceding for you. And tongues is when you and your spirit agrees with God's spirit and both of you start speaking the same thing. It comes out in tongues. Spirit prayer. That's intercession. That's why the deepest intercessions are the ones where you just groan in the spirit. You groan. I know in times past, and I have to close here, we're going to finish the other six of those next week. In times past, in our country, we had the churches where they had the old folks used to get together. And they used to sit down on the church floor. I went to a couple of these meetings, you know, my mama. My mama got baptized in the Holy Spirit before I was born. And she's speaking in tongues long before I knew anything about it. My sister right here will tell you, man, she felt the Holy Ghost speaking tongues long before I was even born. And she took me to some of them meetings where them old folks would sit around on the floor and they began to sing. Then they began to hum. Then they just groan. Oh, they just, just groan. All of a sudden they start speaking in tongues. All of them with just eyes closed, with hands clasped onto one another and just groaning in the spirit, praying in tongues. Sometime you'll hear them start prophesying in tongues. The next one will give an interpretation. They've been praying for somebody in Africa somewhere. Holy Ghost is working on them, interceding for someone in Africa. And they caught up on the communication and they brought it into the prayer meeting. And the Holy Ghost had someone to agree with them. And they would groan in the spirit. There are times when we in our prayer meetings, we'd find ourselves just groaning in the spirit. Groaning, and sometimes the spirit of intercession would overtake us so much that you would begin to hurt with the person you're interceding for somewhere. You can't even express it in English. And tongues is like a savior to you because they can express fully what the Spirit's trying to say. There's six other good reasons why we should pray in tongues and speak in tongues. But the church need to get it now. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is for you. Peter stood upon the day of Pentecost and says, this which you have seen, we are not drunk. He said, this is for you, your children, and your children's children, and as many as our Lord shall call. The Lord's still calling. And you are one of the many. He says, now this is for you. We need to know that everything that God promised us is for us. So we're going to do what's right. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.